This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of the Hobbit is brought to you by Bluehost. You can start your own blog or website in minutes for a very low price, just $6.95 per month. Bluehost makes it super easy. One-click installation of your WordPress blog, your own .com domain name for free, and absolutely no worries about bandwidth. Go to sqpn.com/bluehost to sign up or for more information. And by the Amazon store. Click on the link on our website before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show.
SQPN.com presents The Secrets of the Hobbit.
There and back again. A Hobbit's Tale by Bilbo Baggins. Now, where to begin?
It is cold and rainy in Middle-earth. At least that's what I gathered from one of my friends in New Zealand, who said winter is starting early this season, and apparently it is really cold and chilly and dark and overcast. And it's a good thing, perhaps, that filming is now wrapping up so that they can go inside their nicely heated studios and work on all the post-production stuff over at Weta. We are going to talk about the latest news from New Zealand about The Hobbit, and joining me today is Dave Kale again, as usual. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Father. The whole winter thing's kind of funny, because that's obviously one of the taglines from the Game of Thrones show, Winter is Coming.
Winter is coming, yes. But we only talk about hobbits, not about other nasty small people. Game of Thrones. I've only watched 5 episodes. I'm not hooked yet, but
oh, yeah?
Apparently the rest of the world is.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I figured it's once you were sufficiently hooked, that a secret of the Game of Thrones would be inevitable. But I guess you're not hooked yet, huh?
Well, not yet, and it could also be because I have trouble kind of following the plot, because it's, you know, I don't have subtitles, and it's kind of hard to follow sometimes. And there's so many characters and so many intrigues, and I'm usually bad with like series where you get introduced to 5 kingdoms and 6 kings and 5 knights and 3 mistresses and whatever 6 wars that are going on at the same time.
Yes,
but
it's unbelievably complicated.
It is. So
I've heard people say that in order to follow it, you first need to watch or read the books, then watch it, then read the books again, then watch it again.
Right.
And finally make sense of it all.
I unfortunately don't happen to have the time for that yet. But hey, summer vacation is coming up, so that might be a nice thing to do when I'm out there in Greece in 40 degrees Celsius, like 110 degrees outside. I can read about the winter that is coming. Perhaps that'll cool me down. We are going to talk not about the Game of Thrones, but about The Hobbit. And of course, as usual, we start with the news and the new news and the breaking news.
Confound it all, Samwise Gamgee! Have you been eavesdropping?
I ain't been dropping no eaves, sir, honest.
What did you hear? Speak!
Nothing important. Please, Mr. Gandalf, sir, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me in anything. Unnatural.
So apparently there was some breaking news just before we started recording the show, Dave. What was it about?
Right on. There was a press release that's making its way around all the various online gaming entertainment sites. But Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment has just announced one of its Hobbit tie-in games that will debut in the fall. It's called Guardians of Middle-earth, and they're calling it an authentic multiplayer online battle arena game for console systems.
Guardians of Middle Earth, and it's a battling thing?
Yeah, here's the description. Guardians of Middle Earth brings up to 10 players together in 5v5 competitive multiplayer battle arenas in the epic setting of Middle Earth. The game offers more than 20 iconic guardians, including Gandalf, Sauron, Gollum, Thrain, and many more, for players to control in PvP matches. Gamers will have the ability to connect with other players via an in-game voice communication system, as well as access to a comprehensive online stat and leaderboard where they can look at victories and defeats, yada, yada, yada. I think so. If I'm understanding this correctly, this sounds to me like that game called League of Legends.
I suspect. League of Legends.
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with that game. It's basically it's halfway between the classic. All of these things were inspired by the Warcraft franchise.
Uh-huh.
And the League of Legends sort of style of play is based on this other this modification that was applied to Warcraft 3 a long time ago called Defense of the Ancients, and so basically you're controlling and so it's kind of halfway between the real time strategy gameplay that's more classic to Warcraft and World of Warcraft or those first person MMORPGs. So you control like a main hero character and you build up his stats and stuff, but it's more, as opposed to being kind of first person type stuff, it's more third person kind of point of view, and it's a little more, the gameplay is not quite as complicated.
It's more just
hack and slash.
From the photos of what I'm of League of Legends, it's kind of isometric 3D and actually a bit reminiscent of this very recent big hit Diablo 3, at least in terms of perspective.
Yeah, the gameplay I think is very similar, or the controls are very similar to Diablo 3. It's a lot of point and clicking, hack and slash, but a lot of it comes down to micromanaging certain strategy. Usually, I don't know if they'll do this in Guardians of Middle-earth, but in League of Legends, in addition to having your hero character who you're sort of leveling up, you also have little minion characters that you don't control, but you can kind of direct where they go and what they do a little bit. So,
now is the Middle-earth just a backdrop, or do you think that there's also going to be a story? Is this going to be somehow tied to the Lord of the Rings or even to The Hobbit?
I don't know, and I'm just speculating here. I'm not even sure this is exactly what MOBA games are, but I have the strong suspicion that that's what they mean by it. And from that standpoint, my guess would be it's not going to have much story. I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty disappointed.
It sounds very kind of PvP, where Middle Earth is just basically a marketing tool for them.
Yep, they just want to get in on this whole League of Legends and games like it are doing unbelievably well, and they're making a ton of money because a lot of them use the same business model. I don't know if WB will do this, but League of Legends and similar games have their business model is to give the game away for free and then sell you upgrades and customizations for your character.
Oh, okay. So it's the freemium model.
they nickel and dime you with, get this outfit for your guy, or here's a weapon that you can't get unless you pay for it or play for 50 hours.
Your Gandalf can have a bigger nose, if only.
Exactly. This doesn't sound very true to the spirit of Middle Earth.
Apparently, you'll be able to play.
Gollum go one-on-one with Sauron.
Yeah, you'll be able to play like iconic guardians, Gandalf, Sauron, Gollum, Thrain, and more. There is apparently a link to The Hobbit. And I'm reading from a Dutch version of the press release. Leading up to the premiere and also after the premiere of The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, fans will be able to enjoy a couple of new playable guardians that are going to be released in combination with the film, so that gamers will be able to share in Peter Jackson's vision of Middle-earth. So that seems to hint at some Hobbit characters from the movie probably making an appearance. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Smaug?
Yes.
Or, I don't know, some wood elves? It could be anything. But again, yeah, I agree with you. It's kind of disappointing. Like, don't we deserve something a little bit more ambitious than this? But they seem to go for, this is a popular gaming genre. We can replace whatever characters were in, you know, nameless other bland game, and we'll just attach some Hobbit names to them and Tolkien names, and then, you know, we can re-release it and make a lot of money. Feels a bit like the fighting games that used to always feature these Japanese characters. And all of a sudden, they started to release versions of that where you would have Superman and Batman battling it out. But they would be yes. they would make the same karate moves and.
Yes. Yeah, that is
true. Oh, come on.
That's exactly right. They just use the same basic character shape and just give it a different skin and tweak
yeah.
its move.
Remember Red Alert, which was a very popular strategy game mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, and then all of a sudden they made like the Battle of Middle Earth. And it was exactly that. It was just Red Alert, but instead of moving tanks around, you were moving mammoths around or olifants and all sorts of Sauron's gear and but the gameplay.
I remember playing a Star Wars version of that. That
yeah,
was awful.
Yeah. The what was it called again? I have it too. I purchased it on Steam for $1. It's probably what it's worth. The Empire, something with Empire, but anyway.
Oh yeah, I can't tell you how many bad Star Wars computer games I've purchased.
Isn't that kind of an oxymoron?
Right.
Most of these games are really bad.
Yeah, that's true.
I still haven't played that online role playing game yet, but apparently that's one of the few Star Wars games that are actually really good and where they focus on storytelling. And I really truly wish that they would do something similar around The Hobbit, either as a kind of spin-off of Lord of the Rings Online or even something more modern. Lord of the Rings Online was created many years ago and technology has evolved so much and graphically computers are able to do even better than what you see there. And if they could kind of link that to The Hobbit. But then again, I'm still waiting for my Harry Potter role-playing online game. We haven't seen that one, so it's all about money, I think, in that world. But anyway, we'll take it. We'll check it out. What else is happening in New Zealand? Is there any movie news or news from the set?
Actually, there is. I don't know if you saw, but on IMDb, they released they announced the release dates for The Hobbit.
Oh, that is cool. And
yeah,
what are those release dates?
And the big news is that they're going to be rolling this thing out over the course of almost 3 weeks.
No.
And what you're probably excited about is you'll be getting it before I will.
Oh, that's good. Actually, yes, I like it. What?
So,
that is so weird. Why would they do that?
It's bizarre. On December 12th,
mm-hmm.
it's coming out in Belgium, Denmark, France, Norway, and Sweden.
Okay.
On the 13th, it's coming out in Germany, Greece, Hong Kong, Hungary, Israel, the Netherlands, Russia, Singapore. And then on the 14th, it's coming out in Canada, Italy, Japan, New Zealand, Paraguay, Romania, South Africa, Spain, the
Wait
UK,
a
the
minute.
Good old US of A.
Are we getting the movie before New Zealand?
Yes.
I think there are going to be a lot of Kiwis that are going to be super upset about that. What?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, the Netherlands. We usually get movies like 2 years after. They're usually already out on Blu-ray when we get them. I mean, I'm not complaining. Peter Jackson, if you're listening to this, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm fine with this. But some of you your fellow Kiwis might not be. Did they explain why they do it like this? It doesn't seem to make sense.
I haven't seen any explanations. All the articles that I have seen, like on Middle Earth News and One Ring and places like that, they've basically just pointed out that it was happening over 3 weeks and linked to the IMDb page where this information is. So I haven't seen any real in-depth commentary.
But this sounds more like not 3 weeks, but 3 days, right?
No. After the 14th, the next release is Armenia on the 19th and the Ukraine on the 20th, Brazil the 21st, all the way down to Argentina doesn't get it until the 1st of January.
Okay. But at least the let's say the big markets get them relatively quickly.
Yep.
I understand that for, you know, Transylvania, you might want to – I mean,
right.
It doesn't really matter
well,
that
I,
much.
You know,
but
I
still.
Imagine Brazil's probably a pretty big market. They don't get it until
True.
The 21st.
True.
I'm wondering, you know, I have this suspicion that there must be some rhyme or reason to this, and I'm guessing it has to do in part with maybe – You know, like, so like the whole U.S. thing, you know, the U.S., they usually don't like to release movies until like a Thursday night or a Friday.
That might be part of it. Yes.
Cause, you know, just in terms of trying to have a big first weekend and stuff. But I also wonder if some of the logic here is trying to mitigate piracy.
Well, you'd think that if you want to mitigate piracy, you'd release everything at the same time, because then
people
won't need to pirate the movie and watch shaky, you know, webcam quality versions. There's just one day in for the first batch. It's like on the 12th, 13th, 14th. So, you know, there's really no use to do any pirating there. Now, of course, if you live in Brazil and you're eager to watch the movie and they make you wait 2 weeks, that's a different story. But and then I think the fact that this movie is going to be so groundbreaking in terms of technology, 3D, 48 frames per second, I think a lot of people will want to see it. And just the scope of the story, let's be honest. This is not a movie that is made for the small screen. You want to buy a bigger TV for this. I can't imagine that people have not watched The Lord of the Rings in theaters because it's
right.
Such a different experience. I remember watching it and just the landscapes, and it's just so overwhelming and so big, and you're there, and that's something you don't want to, you know, it cannot be replaced by shaky, you know, smuggled cameras. I don't know. It baffles me, though. Or perhaps it could be because of the time difference and Peter Jackson needing to do some personal promotion. So I can imagine that you don't want to be on every talk show on the same day, especially if you live on the other side of the planet. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, neither. It's a little perplexing.
Well, you would have thought that at least New Zealand would get the first week.
Or yeah, you would think day. So.
I'd love to hear people's opinion about this. If you are in New Zealand and you want to say something to Peter Jackson and you believe that he's actually listening to this podcast, don't hesitate to tell us. Go to sqpn.com. There's a little widget that you can click to leave us voice feedback. We'd love to hear your opinion. And of course, you can also let us know via Twitter and Facebook what you think about this gradual release. On Twitter, we are Hobbit Podcast, and on Facebook, just search for Secrets of the Hobbit. All right. Release date. Well, at least we've got a date, so we can start looking forward to it.
We have something to fixate on now.
Absolutely. We can do the countdown thing.
That's right.
Every morning when I wake up, I carve in my wall another number. What else is going on in New Zealand?
Speaking of countdown, so there's this fun giveaway being done by Conan Stevens, who is the dude playing Bolg, who is the son of Azog. He's the goblin that leads the goblin army at the Battle of Five Armies. So he's giving away his official The Hobbit 200 Days to Go long sleeve black t-shirt that was supplied to the crew at the end of filming of Block 1.
The one with the logo?
Yes, I believe
cool.
So. Actually, he's giving away two things. He's also giving away a miniature of the character he plays on the Game of Thrones series, Sir Gregor Clegane, that was given to him by George R. R. Martin when he first signed on for the first season. And so he's the there's a link in the workflow that I put in there that we can give to the listeners. But basically, the way you enter it to get the Hobbit shirt is through the OneRing.net. The OneRing.net has a post. You go over there. And then there's a Game of Thrones site for the Game of Thrones giveaway, and that's where you enter the contest for the miniature, Westeros.org. In order to qualify, you go to OneRing.net. You have to fill out a little form. But what you have to do is there's a question you have to answer. In order to get the answer for the question, you have to watch a 50-second YouTube video on Conan Stevens' website. So,
nice.
That's pretty cool. That'd be an awesome shirt. It won't fit you probably because this guy is like 6 foot something, like massive dude. So if this shirt fits him, then it probably won't fit you. But it'd still be cool to have.
Of course. I just cut out the logo and sell it on eBay. No, just kidding.
It's nice. Pretty cool, though. I this guy definitely goes up in my esteem for giving away his own shirt.
I'm pretty sure that he might have a spare one.
It's probably a reasonable assumption. So, Yeah, if you go to – basically, if you look up Conan Stevens, or if you just go to theonering.net, you'll find links to this. But go enter. This is a cool shirt.
Nice.
I don't know where else you'd be able to find these things unless the production crew start eBaying theirs.
Oh, believe me, China. They got plenty of them.
You can get a knockoff.
I haven't seen any rogue Hobbit franchise stuff yet. I mean, in China, I watched a documentary last week. In China, they already have the iPhone 5. Even before Apple is aware of it, it's already there. And it has the logo on it and everything.
Right.
I bet you that we will see Hobbit stuff turning up on these kind of shady Chinese websites.
I suspect you're probably right.
All right.
There was a huge charity that the various folks involved in the Hobbit production helped out with, a charity auction to benefit Christchurch. That was actually – I gave you the link, but now if you follow the link, all the things that they were auctioning off are gone because it finished last night.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to have to look around and see if I can actually figure out how to see the things that were sold. But as of last night, there was a Stephen Fry signed print that was going for over $600 and a Dame Maggie Smith signed print that had well over 90 bids.
Nice.
Yes. So unfortunately, this isn't much help to our listeners. It's already closed, so they can't go bid.
Oh.
But it's, you know, it's good to know, I guess. And I'll see if I can find out news about how much these things ended up going for, how much that Stephen Fry print went for. I bet there was a flurry of bidding in the last hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Stephen Fry continues to be very active on Twitter, and it's a lot of fun to follow what he's doing. I can't believe how busy the guy is, even after his Hobbit adventures. You'd think that, you know, time for a break when you've been filming two blockbuster movies back to back, but apparently he's just doing something different every day and always
working.
What's
he doing now?
I don't know. He just had his Simpsons version of his portrait being drawn by one of the Simpsons artists, and he was showing it on Twitter. It was a lot of fun, and I'm pretty sure that once the PR for the movie will begin, he'll probably make the rounds of a lot of international talk shows as well, because he's the type you want to get on your late night show.
Oh,
he's experienced, he's got a certain charism to him that I think will work really well for the movie.
Yep, I agree. There were a couple of huge famous birthdays over the weekend that we just missed last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Ian McKellen turned 73 on Friday, and Christopher Lee turned 90 on Sunday.
Wow, 90.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that the filming is done. you don't want him to, you know, get seriously ill or something, or... Oh, man, that is amazing.
He's looking pretty good. He seems to be rolling along. He's in excellent health, it would seem.
It is the power of the dark magic. The Eye of Sauron.
He has access to a variety of different kinds of dark magic.
Probably, yes.
He's Saruman. He also uses the dark side of the Force.
Yes, yes.
He was also Dracula.
Well, the same is true for Gandalf. He can bend metal, and he's played his share.
Isn't
that
interesting that the two wizards were born so close together?
Were they? Well, in terms of age.
Yeah, well, not in terms of age, because Ian McKellen's 17
a lot
years younger.
Yeah.
But in terms of their actual birthdays, it's like with literally two days apart.
I had no idea. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. So, let's see. Another bit of interesting news from a couple weeks ago, and we're not the earth-shattering news is pretty much done. There really hasn't been any releases or links or photos or anything like that. But there was a Luke Evans interview from a couple weeks ago on Total Film Magazine, and they put a selection of it up on their website. This is from May 12th, so a couple weeks ago. But basically, they've got him talking about his various films, and they asked him about his Bard role and whether it had been modified at all from the film. They said the question was, are you tinkering around with the character of Bard the Bowman? He says, there's slightly more Bard in the movie than there is in the novel. Everything in the book is definitely in the film, but whispers. I'll have my tongue cut out if I say anything else. Let's put it this way. I shoot a lot of arrows.
Oh. Yeah. Seems to indicate that his role definitely is going to be a little bit bigger. And we speculated about this before, where, you know, in order to make him the hero, you need to see at least a little bit of a story arc. So, yeah, if he's the bowman, if that's his definition, then, yeah, that makes sense that we see him shoot a lot of arrows. And he's probably going to be involved in the Battle of the Five Armies as well. And perhaps even in different ways as well. That's... It's going to be an exciting... I like, actually, the fact that they're going to flesh out his character a little bit more. It doesn't upset me that much.
Yep, me neither. So, let's see. What other of this news is interesting? There was, in terms of auctions, there was another fun auction, actually, that I think is kind of fun to talk about. Again, it's closed. It was from over a week ago, but it was called the Hollywood to Wellywood auction.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's a promotion being done by Air New Zealand, celebrating 30 years of flights between London and Los Angeles. And I think they might be getting ready to open up more flights between Los Angeles and New Zealand. I'm not sure. But basically, the Hollywood to Wellywood package, which was being auctioned, and the proceeds were going to go to fab.org.uk, a charity that promotes and encourages people of all abilities to come together on equal terms and achieve complete inclusion within the wider community. I don't know what that means. But the package included two Air New Zealand economy flights from London to Los Angeles to Wellington and back to London, two tickets to the Warner Brothers VIP deluxe tour in Hollywood, and then an entry for two at the Weta Workshop and the Weta Cave.
Wow. So, what is the Weta Cave?
It's basically kind of their, I believe it's where they work on various crafts, or it's the thing where they take, visitors whenever visitors come, and they have a lot of their projects that they've completed in there for view.
I didn't know that can anyone visit that cave, or? I mean,
I'm not sure. Okay,
that would be another cave, destination for tourists.
I'm visiting their website. It's their museum, basically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I think anybody can. So this entry for two, since entry to the Weta Cave is absolutely free, I'm not sure what the entry for two you're bidding on in this auction is, but maybe it's that's for the entrance to the workshop.
Cool. I'd so want to go there.
Yeah, I know.
I'm old.
And ended up going for about £1,900, I believe.
Oh, gosh. That is pretty... Well, and then you have to probably also pay for your own... Your flight and everything and hotel.
No, you got your tickets that were included in the package. It actually sounds like a pretty good deal.
That's a good deal. I think if you go by yourself, it's probably going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. Yeah, that one millionaire that's listening to our show still needs to contact us. so we can go as well. We want to go. By the way, I want to go not just to Wellington and back to Metameta, but I also want to go and visit the new locations where they've been shooting The Hobbit. And one of the reasons why is that I've been looking at the new photos that were posted just the other day, actually, by Philip Günther. We talked about him in our last show. Philip has been visiting New Zealand and made a ton of fantastic photos. I mean, these photos are more beautiful than what I've seen on the official website, and even in, you know, it's like a professional photo quality, beautiful weather,
when these photos were taken. And he sent us another email. I've posted some more Hobbiton pictures, in fact, quite some more, and then a link to his website, which is Philip with double P, one L double P dash Gunther, which is GUENTHER.com. As usual, there's going to be a link in the show notes if I don't forget about it. He added photos next to the wonderful set that he created about his visit to Matamata. Now there are photos of the Tongariro, I hope I pronounced this correctly, the Tongariro Volcanic Complex, where they filmed, and this is an area that we saw in the most recent production video, I think it was production video 8. And they interviewed a couple of people. That's what the area where they were building the scaffolding to protect the moss and everything. Remember those scenes?
Yeah.
And you see Bilbo actually wearing a different outfit, which led us to believe that this is probably going to take place in the second movie and not in the first one, because he looks much more rugged, much more kind of a wary traveler that has already seen a lot of adventures.
Looking at this scenery, wow, this looks like perfect smog-devastated countryside.
Exactly. It's totally empty. It's very barren, but at the same time, it's beautiful. It's not just like completely wasteland. The mountains in the background, amazing colors, and you can totally see them using this and comping in via CGI and matte paintings a devastated city in the background. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be the location where they will film that. What's the name of that region? I forgot. We talked about this when we did our two episode analysis of the production video. But it's basically like an entire region that was laid to waste by Smaug. And I think this looks, I think, like something that we've never seen before in the Hobbit movies. And yet it is totally Middle Earth if you see this. And again, I'm just shocked by the beauty of this volcanic landscape and the different colors, and there's some lakes also there, and there is continuously smoke rising up from the depths because of apparently underneath it there's a lot of lava, and so it's still smoking, which of course is pretty cool if you want to show a landscape that has just been torched by a big dragon.
That was exactly the word I was going to use, torched.
And this would be a really good choice. There is another set of photos about the slopes of Mount Rapehu, the source of the Waikato River.
It's a valiant effort pronouncing that.
Yeah. And I was wondering if I'm looking at this mountain. And this looks like the Lonely Mountain to me.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if it is, but it definitely is the type of mountain that I imagined the Lonely Mountain to look like. Now, we don't know for sure, because we know that it's kind of sensitive and mountains are sacred for the indigenous people of New Zealand. And so, but there is this one mountain in all these photos, and it is like the biggest mountain of all the others. So I think it would be a good candidate, and that's also possible, perhaps they've just chosen to go, the CGI route, and the whole mountain will be just only existing in the computer. But I think for tourism, it would be pretty cool if that mountain was actually used as the Lonely Mountain, because it would just add another location for the Board of Tourism to promote. And again, the photos are stunning, really, really, really stunning. So great job, Peter. We're still trying to get Peter on the show. Philip. Why do I say Peter? Philip. I've been watching too much Fringe. Philip. Sorry, Philip. We're going to try to get you on the show and do an interview, because we want to hear the backstory of these photos. It's amazing. I've also Googled.
We would also like to get Peter from Fringe on, too.
That would be nice, too. We would do a Secrets of Fringe if that actor would be able to join us just for the occasion. Now, the Tongariro National Park we know for sure that that has been a Hobbit movie set. They are already, the New Zealand Tourism Guide, for instance, is already giving information about tours that you can take there. Here's a website with a description of that tour. Tongariro National Park Hobbit Tours takes you on a tour of the filming locations of the Hobbit movie written by J.R.R. Tolkien, filmed by Peter Jackson. Explore the stunning and unforgettable landscapes of Middle-earth on a Hobbit film tour in Tongariro National Park. So that's pretty cool. I wonder how much they can actually say during a tour like that. Because I assume that people in the area that were involved in the shooting will have signed non-disclosure forms. So this could just be, you know, one of these tours where you actually learn nothing except for, well, this is where Peter Jackson walked. And I remember at the time there were lots of vans and lots of camera crews and lots of cables. And yeah, they filmed some stuff here. Do you know what they actually filmed? We can't talk about that. So I don't know, but it's definitely on my list of places that I want to visit whenever I return to New Zealand.
Well, you know, the Road to the Shire guys are working. You know, they went, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're theoretically, from what I've heard on some of the fan sites and stuff, they're working on turning it into an actual sort of travel service type thing. So that basically to help other fans go if they want to.
Oh, really? So they use their own experience and then organize tours? Oh, that is smart.
That's what I think I saw something to that effect on Twitter. But I'm looking at their site, there's nothing about it on there.
I thought their original plan was to create a documentary. Is that still?
Yeah, I think that might. I don't know what's happened with that.
It's difficult.
We need to get them on the show.
That's true. That's another. I'll get my people to work on that. No, but honestly, that would be an interesting story because they've gone there. But I'd love to get an update on. You know, on the whole preparations for that tour and what they think of the movie. And actually, this could also be a good way to kind of bridge the gap now that principal photography is wrapped up. Unless Peter Jackson is going to give us more videos. It might be a little bit more quiet than usual when it comes to news. And so this might be a good time to actually go and do some more interview type shows.
Yep, I agree.
We'll keep you posted. I think it's time for a short break.
There and Back Again, A Hobbit's Tale by Bilbo Baggins. This is wonderful.
I meant to go back, wander the paths of Mirkwood, visit Lake Town, see the Lonely Mountain again. That age, it seems, has finally caught up with me.
You know, every week there are a couple of people that sign up for a Bluehost account and that actually start building their very first blog or website. And whenever someone signs up via the link on thehobbit.sqpn.com, we get a notification of the URL of the new website because you get the URL included in the price. And the system is so easy that you could actually really get going with your blog in a matter of minutes. I think it takes about like 5 minutes to fill in the form, and you press a button and boom, you have your own WordPress blog. And the reason that I mentioned that is that actually now would be a good time to start your own Hobbit blog or website. There's going to be a flurry of interest from millions of people. And when I compare the Hobbit fan activity on the internet to other franchises, I'm actually amazed that there are not more Hobbit websites out there or blogs. I think that there's going to be a huge amount of people that will want to read, reviews of the movie or, playthroughs of the games that are coming out or reviews of the franchise, of the toys. There's a Lego game that's coming out. And it's like, why, if you're an aspiring blogger, this could be, I think, a perfect franchise to make your mark and to gather a pretty substantial audience and you can do that very, very rapidly. The trick, I think, is and this is true for any blog that you start, make sure that you do something unique that no one else does. So focus on, for instance, if you would do a website that is focused on the Lord of the Rings Lego stuff, I bet you that you are going to get thousands, if not tens of thousands, of visitors. You could monetize it by posting, you know, ads and banners. And now that I think of it, why didn't I do that? I honestly think that there is a huge opportunity here. And again, if you are a blogger, you're a writer, but you're not that much of a programmer, that's why I always recommend Bluehost, because they make it really easy. And it's even for people that are not very technical, you can still get going in literally in minutes. And so let us know if you're starting a Hobbit-related or Tolkien-related blog. We'd love to plug it here on The Secrets of the Hobbit. And if you sign up for Bluehost, which I would recommend, because it's such a low price. I mean, $6.95 per month, that's what? Two visits to Starbucks, or not even one visit to Kentucky Fried Chicken or any other of these fast food joints. And instead of that, you can work on your health, and you can have one of the most successful, you know, Hobbit-related fan sites in the world if you play it smart. So I'd say give it a try. I'd love to hear from you. So go to thehobbit.sqpn.com and click on the Bluehost banner for more information.
What's happening out there?
Shall I describe it to you? Or would you like me to find you a box?
All right. So what else is happening? Smaller,
well,
bigger things?
Speaking of Hobbit pages and whatnot, there is a Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, which is the sort of, I think they own the rights to The Hobbit in the United States. They're the ones publishing Corey Olson's new book this fall. Mm-hmm. They have a new what they call Everything Hobbit page on Facebook. It's actually like an app or something, I don't know. The URL is apps.facebook.com/readthehobbit/exclusives with a capital E. And they're putting little like quizzes on there and things like that. So it's interesting. So Corey's actually going to be talking to them and maybe partnering with them on trying to get some of the riddles and the dark stuff included on it and things like that. So people should go check that out. It'll hopefully be some fun literary Hobbit-related stuff on there throughout the fall.
Nice.
I know that they're gearing up because it's the 75th anniversary of the publication of that book. So
fantastic!
Yeah, keep an eye on it. I'm going to be honest with you; it's not the most well-designed page or app I've ever seen.
That's
in my
because
life.
They're not with Bluehost yet.
Yes, apparently not. So, actually, one sort of relatively huge piece of news that we haven't talked about in the last few weeks, but had the Twitter sphere ablaze, was somebody dug up, or no, not dug up, but the BBC released footage of a rare 1968 interview with J.R.R. Tolkien.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
That is awesome. And so what's the interview about?
It was from their BBC, from the BBC series In Their Own Words, British Authors series, mm-hmm. which I guess they did, or it aired first in 68. Here's the official synopsis. John Izzard meets with Tolkien at his home, walking with him through the Oxford locations that he loves while hearing the author's own views about his wildly successful high fantasy novels. Tolkien shares his love of nature and beer and his admiration for trenchermen in this genial and affectionate program. The brief interviews with Oxford students that are dotted throughout reveal the full range of opinions elicited by The Lord of the Rings, from wild enthusiasm to mild contempt.
Interesting. I'm wondering if this is like additional footage, because I'm looking on YouTube, of course, first place where I go, and already 1 year ago there was a video that was posted with archival footage of the series In Their Own Words. So I'm thinking perhaps this is probably like it could be that they just edited it down and that they just left out things that are now released.
I'm tempted
to click on it real quick and see what. I think I have already played this.
Probably have.
A while ago. It was that documentary where they interview all these hippies about Tolkien. And here's another one also in their own words. I'm wondering if I don't think that the new stuff is online yet. Oh, here you go.
This is him.
I think the important thing when one reads Tolkien's works is not to let this pretty fairy tale lead one into accepting the basically reactionary doctrine that lies underneath it all. I mean, conservatism is quite right when it's basically...
This is just students talking about... about Tolkien again, and not very interesting. But then here is a bit with Tolkien himself.
I don't live in America. Surely they should tell me. I should like to ask them some questions of how such things arise. I observe in general that America has, North America has always been much more easily kindled than England, or indeed any country in Europe. And for instance, the Dickens cult and the extraordinary excitement about Dickens. So the only people who came down at the quay to watch the mail ship coming, the only thing they wanted to know is what happened in the next chapter. They weren't worried about goods.
It gives you a nice sort of in feeling to meet another Tolkien enthusiast.
A Tolkien enthusiast. Hey, we're not doing too badly with our pronunciation. Tolkien. It's interesting to see these tidbits with Tolkien, and I'm. Sometimes I wonder if he would still live today, would he do a cameo in his own in the movies? Just like with all the superhero
that's
movies.
That's a good question. I hope so. That would be awesome. Like Stan Lee.
He does have exactly. That was what I was thinking. He does have kind of the look and even the accent of a wizard. He could be on the White Council. All right. Well, That's. I hope that we can somehow find a link to that new footage. But that's pretty nice. And we might have talked about this before, but we've got Christopher Tolkien. There's also the Tolkien Estate. Are they going to be present during the premiere? Have they gone to the premiere of The Lord of the Rings, or is it something that they don't want to be associated with?
That's a good question. I don't know a definitive answer to that. My intuition is that they don't want to be associated with it. And especially given that there have been lawsuits and stuff, I don't think they'll be there. That would be my guess.
Too bad.
It is too bad that there's not more cooperation there. Maybe some of the younger ones will. My understanding is that Simon and Michael, the grandchildren, are a little more sort of supportive and positive about it.
That's cool. Well, I'm thinking if you see sometimes how the franchise or the name, the concept of Middle Earth is now kind of sold to, these game makers, and it's kind of almost, it feels like they're selling out sometimes with the world of Tolkien. These lame games, and it almost feels like what Lucasfilm has been doing with Star Wars, where he's like, come on, guys, don't we deserve something a little bit more, don't we deserve a little bit more love going into these games and these spin-offs? But you'd think that
especially
at least the movies...
The Guardians of Middle-Earth one, that's definitely blatant selling out. I mean, Lord of the Rings Online, I think
that's respectful.
Yeah, I think people working on that legitimately love the franchise.
They are, and actually there's this one guy that is, I think it was a guy, I'm not sure. There's this one person who is like an absolute Tolkien nut, and he is their like living library when it comes to Tolkien, and nothing in the game goes without his approval, and he is apparently very, very motivated to keep them faithful to the spirit of Tolkien's work. But you rarely see this kind of love going into the console games. Even the War in the North, I've never played it. I'm still waiting for the price to go down even more. But I just feel that visually it was great, but in terms of gameplay, can't they do something a little bit more creative? A bit more narrative. I don't know. So what I want to say is, the point I want to make is, Peter Jackson is still, I think, one of the most respectful people, even though he will change stuff and people will be upset about some of those changes. But at least he just totally loves the story, has a huge respect for the legacy of Tolkien. So you'd think that a little bit of reconciliation wouldn't hurt the family. wouldn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah. You are right. He is one of the more respect. I mean, he's not exploiting it. You know, maybe we don't necessarily agree with this change or that change, but he's not exploiting it.
No,
and not intentionally just mining it for profit. So.
And I'm just saying, if the Tolkien estate and Peter Jackson's people ever want someone to mediate, I'm a Catholic priest. I do that stuff for a living, you know? The only thing is, it's kind of hard to do it via Skype. So, just saying. And don't come to Holland. I mean the other way around.
It needs to be done in New Zealand.
It needs to be done. There's some magic there. All right, let's move on quickly.
Yeah, so let's see. I think the next one I want to do, there's a couple stories that bear a larger discussion that I think maybe I'll leave for next week.
Mm-hmm.
Since they've waited a few weeks anyway, and they're not pressing news anyway, I think I'll leave those. So I'm going to hit on some of the more superficial news, I guess you could say. I don't know if we've mentioned this before. I don't think we have, but DC Comics is releasing a Lord of the Rings War in the North web comic to go along with the game.
Mm-hmm.
If any of our listeners are playing along, they might want to check that out. That could be fun. there's been a couple of amusing articles about Elijah Wood over the last few weeks. One from a couple weeks ago, or about a week ago, it's about Elijah Wood and the fact that he's still single.
That is a bit weird.
Yes, it is. It is a little strange. What it's more about is it's about some of the fan encounters that he's had. The opening line in the article is, Elijah Wood hasn't had any serious marriage proposals despite his pretty intense fan encounters. And he said he's just talking about the fact that Comic-Con used to be the kind of thing that he would enjoy going to and wandering around. Mm-hmm. But ever since he's been in the Lord of the Rings films, he can't do that anymore.
Imagine.
He says that he goes there now and people are always coming up to him, and he's not getting harassed, but basically he can't walk around incognito. He says, I've thought about getting a costume or a mask and walking around that way, but it's a little difficult.
Well, he could always dress up as Darth Maul and nobody would care.
Yeah,
true. There are always like 20 Darth Mauls running around anyway.
That's true. He could be a really short Darth Vader.
Or my advice would be to just embrace it, because you never know if your career, your future film career, is going to be as successful as it is right now. And so you can always switch over to the Captain Kirk mode and just do all these conventions for a living. And you can make a good living just doing that. Of course, you got to have a lot of patience, but there is a whole industry there.
Have you heard about his new film?
No, tell me about it.
Oh, it's called Maniac. It premiered at Cannes a few weeks ago.
Okay.
He plays a serial killer.
No way, really?
Yes.
Serial killer. Is it R-rated? Is it violent? Is it?
Yeah, it's good. Apparently, it's pretty gruesome. It's really, really gruesome, apparently. So, I'm sure it'll be rated R. There'll be some Hobbit fans that probably won't get to go see it, and many more that probably won't want to. There's a great photo from the red carpet at Cannes with him next to one of his co-stars, and it's this tall, gorgeous woman, and poor Elijah is just he's comes up to about her eyebrows, I think.
Really?
Yes. So I thought you would enjoy that photo.
I was looking around for a trailer of this movie, but it's not even up. There is no trailer as far as
I
can tell.
Yeah, I don't know if they released a trailer for you.
Maniac Red Band trailer, is that it? Elijah Wood, America Olivo. Now, I have not pre-screened this, so I might stop in the middle of the trailer, but we'll see.
You start seeing him murdering people.
Yeah, let's see. It starts with a lot of blood. There we go.
So, what do you do?
What do you do?
Are you an artist?
It's pretty bad audio quality.
You can tell me.
And he's apparently assembling some kind of a puppet. Now there's a scene in a metro station. a woman that is being pursued by a hobbit, I suppose. Stop him. Official selection. And then she is, I think, stabbed.
Yes, it is.
It's amazing. Who's Angela? The name on the sign.
This is creepy. So apparently he works in a place where he's surrounded by, how do you call these puppets that they use in stores for...
Mannequins?
Mannequins. And that's mm-hmm. probably also where he kills his victims. And it looks kind of like one of those art house movies. Not big budget as far as I can tell. But then again, that always works well in Cannes. Oh my goodness. Yeah, don't watch that trailer if you're squirmish. It's not The Hobbit. Let's keep it at that. Alrighty.
So one last bit of fun celebrity news.
Yeah.
So I presume you've seen Thor, and I know you've seen Avengers now.
Mm-hmm, I have.
And
awesome.
So you're familiar with Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor.
Yes.
He, in an interview a few weeks ago, you know, he's in that new Snow White and the Huntsman movie coming up with Kristen Stewart from Twilight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he apparently, in an interview, Kristen Stewart mentioned that when he's wandering around, so here's what she says. He is so obsessed with the Lord of the Rings, and he was always like humming Enya when we were trudging up the mountain. I was saying, you should do a remake of Lord of the Rings. Why are you doing this? We're doing Snow White and the Huntsman, Chris. apparently he's a bit of a Lord of the Rings. Apparently he's obsessive. As they mentioned in the article, we'd love to see Chris in a Lord of the Rings remake, although we'd have to say he's probably a bit too tall to play Frodo.
Well, he could play, I don't know, Aragorn.
Yep, or Boromir. Probably.
Yeah, why not?
He would be perfect. Yeah. So my esteem for him has gone up now. I enjoyed him as Thor, but I like him even more now.
I really didn't like Thor in the movie. I liked it a lot more in Avengers, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's a better written role, I think, for him. Mm-hmm. I liked him in Star Trek, actually.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
kind of hard
right.
to believe that it's the same actor, because he's so yep. different in Star Trek. But, so he's a, well, you know, if we ever get, like, another Tolkien-related movie, then... He'd be first in line. That'd be
nice.
He
could be Baron in a Silmarillion movie.
Ooh. I kind of have a feeling that we might have to wait a long time for that to happen.
We will.
What I hope they will never do is a reboot of The Lord of the Rings, like now with Spider-Man, where it's like, oh, we just have Spider-Man. Let's redo it. Let's completely retell it again. Same dude, same costume, different actors. Yeah, because it's only been 3 years, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's ripe for revisiting.
Ugh. The Lord of the Rings, the remake. Now with more explosions, more magic, and more hobbits.
Maybe they'll do it as a steampunk, like, futuristic version.
Oh, gosh. Samuel Jackson is Frodo in... Oh, let's hope they never do that. But then again, you never know in Hollywood. Hey, that wraps it up for this episode of The Secrets of the Hobbit. Next time, well, probably won't be next week because I'll be in New York at Blog World. By the way, if you live in the area of New York, keep an eye on my Twitter feed because I might tweet out whenever I am around to meet some folks. And if you go to Blog World, walk up to me and say hi. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, may the hair on your feet grow longer than the hair in your nose or something like that. Bye.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.